Praise the Lord. I'm glad you tuned in for our teaching today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth's name, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach your word. And Lord, as it goes out throughout the country and, Lord, to foreign countries and wherever this message may go on the different radio networks that we're on throughout the world. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, just open understanding, uplift people, turn them towards you, Lord, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to teach today a little bit on a subject, and I say this from time to time. It's hard for me to teach without preaching because I'm an old camp meeting preacher, and I just love to shout and run and dance and preach and just expound the Word of God to the fullest capacity that I have. But the Lord has instructed me in these series of teachings that people, you know, there's a time to be blessed by that style of preaching, and we have camp meeting. And then there's a time to just take the verse and chapter and take the word and learn by it. And that's what we hope this broadcast is to you. Except the Lord build the house. And this is taken from Psalms 127 and 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watches but in vain. Then in Proverbs, in chapter 24 and verse 3, the wisdom is an house builder, and by understanding it is established. Then in verse 4 of that same 24th chapter of Proverbs, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Then in Isaiah in chapter 56, verse 7, the last part of that verse, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Also in the New Testament, we find several scriptures that relate to the same understanding. In Matthew, in the 21st chapter and verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And I think about that verse, and I think about the things we see in the world today. And we see all the pollution that goes on in the house of God. Now, I don't get a soapbox and stand on this as a lot of preachers do and just make it a continuous subject. I think it needs to be ministered on, touched, and moved on, but just don't build a soapbox there and stand on it, and that's all you preach. Bible tells us to declare a full counsel, and I think it's very important. But this abomination of all the things that people does in the house of God, a lot of people's turned it in just a fundraising convention. You know, they have bean suppers and spaghetti suppers, and everything they do is based on a fundraiser. He said, according to the Word of God, this is to be done by the tithes and offerings. They're not one place in the Word of God does God substantiate having a yard sale in a church, having all these different things in a church. You can have annex buildings that you do that in. I know our ministry for several years in one of our factories that we had, a big space we for 4 years sold kind of like a Goodwill store or something like that to raise money to feed the poor with. And, you know, that's a different thing. If you have a building or have something that's designed for that, but if you carry all this stuff in the house of God, I don't know about you, but I can't eat in the house of God. I cannot eat, and I cannot sit down on a pew or sit down on the pulpit, side of the pulpit, and eat me a hamburger in the house of God. I can't do it. It's just reverent to me to reverence God and His holy sanctuary. And it's not a place for thieves. It's not a place for selling and rummage, and not a place for potluck suppers and bean suppers and fundraisers. That is not the true purpose of the house of God. And we've allowed spirits of complacency to come in that's took over and made the house of God, is what God says. It's just a den of thieves. The early church experienced that, and you knew what God did to them. He took a whip and run about, and he'll do the same thing today, and it's just not pleasing to the Lord. Then we go over in Mark in the 11th chapter and in verse 7. If you've ever noticed, when God contends to repeat something in the Word of God, it's important. Here the writer Mark in verse 17 of the 11th chapter, "And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." There again, that's the understanding of Mark. And God repeats this several times. And I think for that reason, we need to pay attention to it, that God wants his house to be built on spiritual things and spiritual things to take place in his house. I don't think he wants all this other stuff going on in his house. And then in Luke in the 19th chapter and in verse 46, and I think we're going to find the same understanding here as recorded by Luke, saying unto them, "It is written, My house is the house of prayer, and you have made it a den of thieves." So here we have that repeated in each one of the Gospels, and that allows me to know God wants us to understand that his house is a house of prayer, and it's not a place for all these other things that people use it for. Now looking back at the Old Testament over in 2 Chronicles in the 6th chapter, verse 38 through verse 42. "If they return to thee with all thy heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive and pray towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and towards the city which thou hast chosen, and towards the house which I have built in my name." Verse 39. "Then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, thou prayer and thou supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive thou people which have sinned against thee." Verse 40. "Now, my God, let I beseech thee, thy eyes be open, and let thy ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place." Verse 41. "Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, unto the resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thou priest, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let the saints rejoice in goodness." Verse 42. "O Lord God, turn not away thy face from thy anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant." His house is a place of prayer. His house is a place of salvation for those that enter in. The old original church was set apart of the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in there maybe one time a year. And if he had not pleased the Lord, he was smoked dead, and they wouldn't even able to go in him, get him. They tied a rope on him and pulled him out. God's house has always been sacred. God has always meant for his house to be holy and to be reverence unto God. Now in 2 Chronicles, up in the next chapter, in verse 1 through verse 3, it says these words. "Now, when Solomon had made an end of praying, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." I love this three verses here. Example of how God sent down his fire to consume the sacrifice that wherein Solomon had made at the end of his prayer. This is what we have done today. We have brought in everything else, and I'm not against puppets, but they brought in mimes and puppets, and they brought in everything in the world to replace true worship. When you take the anointing out, a fire show in the flesh will not get the job done. We need to return back to the landmarks and the standards wherein God's house was sacred, and it was a place where men went to pray and to worship and give praise and give glory to God. It's not a place to be entertained. A lot of professional singers saying now that it's not professional to give an invitation. Well, they need to quit singing gospel and go on and sing what's in their heart, because they don't have gospel in their heart, because they say they don't want to give an invitation. I'm telling you, we're putting on a show today. A lot of churches are putting on a show to entertain people when we need to go back to the standards and them old landmarks of the early church and the true church. Look into the Luke, the 6th chapter, and in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which buildeth an house and diggeth deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods came and the streams beat firmly upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth thee and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation build a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat firmly, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. We need to be built upon the rock. Then if we look and go over into Matthew in the 16th chapter, I believe we find this in Matthew 16 and in verse 13 of that 16th chapter, we find these words, and it says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, here's what they said to him, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and he said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We find in Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That opens up a whole new understanding, and we can understand where God explained to us that we must be in one accord. All the great moves of God, the Bible said they was in one accord. The early church, they got in one accord, and in the first 8 to 10 months of the early church, there was over 65,000 souls saved and added to the kingdom of God, because there's in one mind and one accord. If a house is divided, it cannot stand. We find a great understanding in Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians in the 3rd chapter, starting here at verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is in Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. Lord, we do thank you that your house has been built upon a solid rock. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the victory we have through the blood of Jesus. And we know that the foundation is sure. And we know that God has prevailed in his work and that the church is established. And all men need to be drawn into the church and be saved and accept you as Lord and Savior. Grant that, Lord, now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.